What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Let's get to round number two of the news. 7:02, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning this Monday morning, September 16th. 60 degrees, and we're expecting clouds and rain to move in. I'll tell you when moving forward. We are sponsored this morning in Kale and Company by the Piazza Auto Group. So we do have news from the Montgomery County District Attorney talking about a man who was shot and killed by police. This after police say the man charged at those officers after several hours of a standoff in a very tense, dangerous situation. That man charging them with a hatchet as well as a machete. 55-year-old man shot and killed by officers in East Greenville after officials say the man charged at police while armed, like I say, with the machete and the hatchet. That happened over the weekend and making headlines in Philadelphia this morning in Montgomery County. One of the big stories we're following for you. As well, there's another story locally involving a tragedy. And now the nanny is being, she is facing serious criminal charges. The nanny charged, accused of criminally neglecting a three-year-old child who in the end drowned in a pond earlier this month in a case that I think puts the focus on cell phone distraction, allegedly here. This is the 28-year-old woman, Imani Lewis. She's identified and charged with involuntary manslaughter as well as endangering the welfare of a child. This, according to the Chester County District Attorney's Office, they've announced this on Friday. But we had talked about the search for this little boy quite a while ago. It was earlier this month, September 2nd. So the bail for the nanny now set at $100,000, her preliminary hearing scheduled for September 26. This all unfolded in Tredyffrin Township. Police had responded to Wilson Farm Park, which is a large 90-acre recreational facility there in the township's Chesterbrook section, and they were hearing reports of a missing three-year-old little boy who we were told at the time was nonverbal. Police later found the boy's body in this pond. They, through their investigation, looking at cell phone records, they had interviewed the 28-year-old nanny who later is now charged with being distracted and neglecting the child. She apparently was on her cell phone.
Mm-hmm. The cell phone is the de-evolution of society. We should all toss them in the skookle right now.
Just a tragic story. But they are charging her. These are serious charges she's facing. And so we'll watch for this. If there's a plea deal, will this go to trial? But a very emotional story in the suburbs of Philadelphia, of Pennsylvania. Of course, we are talking about the latest as far as the FBI now investigating what they're calling an apparent assassination attempt, the second this summer against former President Donald J. Trump, who was thanking law enforcement on social media for what he called an incredible response. And he said, "I would like to thank everyone for your concern and well wishes. And it was certainly an interesting day." Trump posting that on Truth Social, saying that most importantly, he wanted to thank the U.S. Secret Service, the sheriff down there, Rick Bradshaw, and his office of brave, dedicated patriots, and all law enforcement for the incredible job done today at Trump International in keeping me as the 45th president of the United States and Republican nominee in the upcoming presidential election safe. And he wrote the word safe in all caps.
How does this guy not get mad by this? Like, yeah, I get it. You have to, you know, try to be as president. You know, what's amazing is there's, for 8 years, 9 years, his approach is very unpresidential. That's not a knock. That's just the reality of it. And I like it because he doesn't come off like a politician. And, you know, he doesn't sometimes take the smart path when it pertains to what he posts or what he says. Yet when he's shot at, it's like a totally different guy, right? Because Trump is very loud. He's bombastic. He's entertaining. He's an antagonizer. Yet he's like the most cordial guy on the planet when somebody tries to blow his head off. It doesn't make any sense, right? Like we were just at Politics and Pints on Thursday with Dom Jr. or Don Jr. and Dom Giordano. And he asked him, obviously, about July 13th. And it's, I don't want to say that Don Jr. made it sound like it was a joke or it was all fun and games, but they just shrug it off. I've never seen a group of individuals, a family, whatever you want to call it, where, I don't know, maybe Melania is the only one that seems like fatigued and exhausted by it. For the most part, I mean, Donald Trump doesn't seem to show weakness. And I think that's really remarkable. I don't, commendable, yes, remarkable for sure. But some people are just wired in a different way where, I got to tell you, if I was the one having bullets whiz by my ear, I wouldn't be posting pleasantries on social media.
Well, Secret Service agents accompanying Trump fired at a man they say was armed with an AK-47 style rifle, did have a scope on it. It was on the property of Trump International Golf Course. And the incident comes obviously around 2 months after Trump was obviously shot in the ear at the campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. So reportedly, Eric Trump had spoken to some people, not on camera, but he was apparently pretty emotional. So I don't know if that emotion was tearful or it sounds angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, the family, obviously Melania Trump, to your point, is very upset about it, and you know, was even speaking out beforehand and put out a video. So we're obviously following this, the latest developments, and the FBI says they are investigating this. So we did have other news of the day as well. But before we get to the big Eagles Phils news, do want to point out to you we're sponsored by Piazza Auto Group. Explore the most desirable luxury SUVs with the Range Rover Discovery and Defender models. Find the vehicle that's perfect for you with the latest special offers from Piazza. Just visit Land Rover Westchester, Willow Grove, or Wilmington for a personalized test drive. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring our Kale & Company News Live. I should point out to you that we've been talking about September 16th for quite some time. This was a big day when many people thought, oh, I can cast my vote. So today is the first day that you can request a mail-in vote. However, due to a recent court proceeding, those mail-in ballots are not ready just yet. They're being printed, and this is on the Commonwealth's state, you know, election website. So this after a court ruling, a high court had ruled that those undated or wrongly dated mail ballots expected to be cast in November's election would be thrown out. This because the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court on Friday overturned a lower court ruling ordering that those votes be counted. It was a 4-3 ruling here in Pennsylvania, the state's highest court. Justices throwing out the earlier decision in Philadelphia in which the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court ballots could not be rejected. So the law states that you have to do this a certain way, that you have to properly date the mail-in ballots, and this has to do with the envelope on the outside.
That's correct.
That we've talked a lot about.
So. And this was surprising, considering the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has, I think, a 5-2 liberal advantage with justices on the bench. So the fact that they ruled in, I think this is a victory for Republicans and election integrity, to which I've been saying, I'm sorry, if you can't get the date right, it's got to go. I'm tired of all these exceptions being made, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the others have argued that people who are, I don't know, disenfranchised or whatever, that this is unfair. It's what the law states. And we've gone around and around. These laws were allowed during the pandemic in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And Republican, it was considered bipartisan when it was passed. And at the time, many of us criticized it. Republicans, as many said, by fellow Republicans, got played because it was during the pandemic. That was the line at the time. But they did put there, part of the reason that Republicans agreed to it was that they said, look, at this is much like you have to be there in person. We're trying to simulate this as if you're voting in person. Mm-hmm. Part of that was you have to have the signature. You have to have the date. And so they want to make it fair. So this is what the law says. This
yeah.
is what's written into it.
What a novel concept. Provide your identity, have signatures match, get the dates right. I mean, let's go, folks. We're not voting for the prom queen here. Come on.
And, by the way, Ben & Jerry's has, they're debuting their Kamala Coconut ice cream.
Oh, is that right?
Ben & Jerry's.
I'm sure that'll be that'll be a real hot seller. Just like your cookies in Hatboro.
So we've got that going on.
All right.
Which is nice. We are sponsored in our sports and our weather. We are sponsored by Indeed this morning. So much happening tonight for Philadelphia. So first of all, our Phillies are in Milwaukee playing the Brewers in Wisconsin. They are taking on the Brewers, but obviously we did a great job against the Mets. So won that series 5-0 and first in the NL East. Eagles home opener tonight. Star wide receiver A.J. Brown listed out with that hamstring injury. We've talked about that in the team's injury report. But Super Bowl winning Nick Foles will be the honorary captain so that he retires as a Philadelphia Eagle. So a lot of celebration.
Sorry about that. My phone's like going off. I'm trying to check the line here.
Oh, I thought Greg was bringing in some Nick Foles like audio of Philly or something.
It looks like it's 5.5. Stocker, are you going to have a play on your FanDuel pick for today?
Yeah, I think. Is the FanDuel line 5.5?
Yeah, I'm trying. Every time I open up FanDuel, yeah, this ad keeps playing. about that.
Yes, I'm taking the Eagles -5.5.
All right.
Fantastic. Well, we are sponsored by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. Enjoy today. 79 degrees and mostly sunny. The rain will be moving in slowly. So tomorrow about a 20% chance, but then we'll feel tropical rain, much needed rain to end the drought we've been seeing. That'll hit midweek Wednesday and Thursday. Looks like it'll be out of here by Friday. Kiel & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in the show today, you can certainly do so. Also today, the deadline for the Pennsylvania State Police to provide the House Task Force with records of the Butler PA shooting from July 13th. And of course, we are all over the conversation this morning pertaining to what happened yesterday at Trump International in West Palm, Florida. We'll continue on with more of that conversation next, including a back and forth with the media when it pertains to toning down the rhetoric. And then we'll get to Kamala Harris and her PA numbers with internal polling, as well as some polling about the impact or lack thereof when it pertains to the biggest endorsement to date. Back after this here on Kale & Company.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with precision, professionalism, and such care. You know, from custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes to all those storage solutions, they get the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation at kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Check out kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale & Company on demand. from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian migrants. And then NBC yesterday, this was at 4:37 Eastern, headline from NBC News, Ryan Ruth in custody after Trump golf club incident. Like, I would think if you saw that headline right there, incident would qualify as something pretty petty. You know, if you're at a golf course, I would say an incident would be you got drunk, you swiped a bunch of high noon seltzers from the cart girl, and you took off running to your truck, right? Not that I've ever done that, but that would be like an incident. I don't think somebody trying to stick a barrel through a bush from 300 to 500 yards out qualifies as just merely an incident. It's almost as if NBC News doesn't want you to know what exactly happened, because unless you click that headline and click on that link, you would not know that Donald Trump was on the verge of a second assassination attempt in the last 60 plus days. And then we also got a tweet. This was at 7:11 this morning from Mark at Lori67. He says, Fox 29 hasn't mentioned the assassination attempt on Donald Trump one time since 5 a.m. I can't verify that. I don't know. But if that's the case, would anybody be stunned or surprised?
No, I mean, that's just it. If it's said, it's a mention, and the way that it's being depicted is something different. So just report it. The FBI called it an apparent assassination attempt. That's mm-hmm. what they call, quote them.
Right.
Just report what the authorities are telling you, and that's good enough. But to call something an incident, or the way that, in other words, usually in the news, they want clickbait, right?
Right.
They're trying to put the most sensational headline so that you can click on it.
Let me ask you guys a question, and this is not indicative of, is this indicative of the media or people? Because, you know, we are here covering this like a lot of, you know, like we should be. But do you think this area is more concerned about the Eagles-Falcons game tonight, or do you think they're more concerned about this? I would say definitely the Eagles-Falcons. So,
yes, I would agree.
So is the media then just playing the hits, as we say? That's what people want to talk about. That's what people, you know, want to hear about. So they're playing it. You know what I mean? I'm not defending them.
Right.
Trust me, I'm not defending, because I was the one who said at 6:02 this morning that like none of the local stations have been covering it.
Right.
I'm just saying you
were the one that texted me yesterday saying, "Hey, buddy, you're going to have to change your big take."
this is a big story for us, and I think it's a big story in general. But the majority of people, like, it's not a big story for them. It's just not.
It's one of these things where I think, you know, it depends on who you ask. Like, news junkies that don't really care at all about sports, this is obviously the bigger story here in Philadelphia. If you enjoy sports and politics equally, I think that's probably the group that you would want to ask. But I would say from a broadcast standpoint, having done both formats now, news and sports, to me, there was nothing worse than the day of a Monday night football game. Like, because I can tell you what the sports guys down the hall have already said. We've been previewing this game since Thursday. Like, we live in a reaction world. We don't live in a preview world. We all want to talk about things after they happen, like a football game. Nobody cares about previewing the Eagles-Falcons game. You've done that for 4 straight days. People want to talk about the Eagles tomorrow. So to that point, and maybe that's a little in the weeds, you know, as far as the way the content cycle churns and how people think about it that talk about it for a living. But I would think you would want to talk more about the second time a guy has been shot at. Because prior to July 13th, we had gone, 43 years without a president being shot at? And now we've had it happen twice in a 63-day stretch?
What's his name? The guy after Gerald Ford, I think, had an assassination attempt on his life twice in 18 days. So, I mean, it's not unprecedented.
No, but what year, do you remember what year that was?
I mean, it was the mid to late 70s.
Okay, yeah, so I was saying, like, you know, we've gone 43 years without this happening. So, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a half of a lifetime, essentially. So I would think, and I'm looking at all the headlines right now. I've got MSN, so I've got all my different browsers open. MSNBC.com, FBI investigating second apparent attempted assassination of Donald Trump, suspect in custody. Okay, I've got no issue with that. Fox News, don't even need to read that. They're fine. Suspect in assassination attempt of Trump, traveled thousands of miles to carry out the plot. CNN.com, what we know about the apparent assassination attempt of Trump. I'm trying to think of any other outlets out there that we can. I guess we could go to NBCNews.com. We can do this live on the air. This is riveting radio here. NBCNews.com. Let's see what they have. FBI investigating second apparent attempted assassination of Trump. Suspect in custody, almost verbatim. Let's see what the New York Times is saying today. This is very interesting. Secret Service faces scrutiny after Trump is apparently targeted again. So there's a different headline courtesy of the New York Times. But, you know, when we talk about rhetoric, and I want to play you this clip. This is K5 Phil. Yesterday on MSNBC, it's almost like they didn't have either the intelligence, the courage, or just the real broadcast journalist investigative instincts to, you know, maybe ask the question about rhetoric pertaining to those who spew it from the Democrat side. But instead, MSNBC's Alex Witt asks, do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric to tone down the violence? This is how this exchange occurred yesterday in the afternoon on MSNBC.
My approach is about
no.
New ideas.
No, this is the MSNBC clip.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Do you expect there to be calls from within the Trump campaign to do that? Because he's going to reach out to his supporters and say, let's take this down. We do not know, again, the source of any gunshot or gunshots. We don't know who's responsible for this. The whole thing has yet to be 100% confirmed from start to finish how this all played out. But do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric, toning down the violence, or would that be atypical of the former president?
Well, Alex, remember back to the assassination attempt on President Trump's life and how, you know, there was talk of a new tone. And then the Republican convention was, by Trumpian standards, muted. And it did seem like he was, you know, just trying to take it down a few notches. But then by the end of his convention speech, you know, we were kind of back to where we started. So I don't know how long this could, like, you know, this moment of unity for the country where we come together and we say, I don't want any political opposition to be under threat of violence. It's not okay, any threat of violence, you know, we don't want. I would love for us to have a unity type moment, but I think it's probably going to be pretty fleeting, as we've seen in the past.
So here's the way I interpret that conversation right there, Dawn, and you tell me if I'm wrong or you picked up on something else. For me, it feels like they are saying that Trump is to blame because it's his words that have led to the actions of Ryan Ruth, not the words of the Democrats and the mainstream media that always want to portray him as Hitler and a threat to democracy. It's almost like, hey, buddy, maybe you should, you know, dial back your rhetoric and it wouldn't result in this happening. Do you get the same sense that they're trying to shift the blame as to who's the blame for the rhetoric?
Yeah, it's victim blaming. That's really what they're doing. And they don't want to talk about Joe Biden talking about MAGA or any of the other Democrats of his surrogates. They don't want to talk about the political ads that are airing as we speak. Political ads that in print and broadcast are hammering everybody. I'm so sick of them on both sides. But as far as the political ads against, you know, his opponent, Kamala Harris, those ads really make fun of her cackle or her policies. They don't say that she's dangerous to do. You know what I mean? With Trump, it's, oh my goodness. You would think that he's the boogeyman, Hitler evil incarnate, the way that they paint him. And so you have all these. So nobody's talking about that. Trust me, if the tables were turned, and God forbid this happened to a Democrat running, you know, it would be different. And they would, of course, blame those MAGA people, and they're all crazy, and, you know, their words are weapons and so on and so forth. So just stop. Just everybody on both sides, tamp it down, folks, because these ads, the broadcast ones especially,
right.
I think, to me personally, they're unbearable, and they cancel each other out.
So then, you know, we've talked many times on this show about things that we feel need to be changed, whether, you know, it's term limits for our elected officials, whether it's have debates jump the shark, can we get a Fox News moderator with a CNN anchor to make it fair and balanced. But we're always thinking of how we can reinvent the wheel. So let's look at these political ads for a moment. And again, not 1210 WPHT's job, not NBC News' job to fact check these ads. Does the system need to be changed? And I'm not talking about, you know, a media outlet that takes the money and then plays them. I'm talking about maybe the FCC or some sort of federal agent, some level of government intervention, which I really hate because I don't want the government meddling in my life. But when you are putting ads together that are so toxic, and look, toxic is a byproduct of politics. We get that. Politics, you have to have thick skin. This is, you know, again, you're running for president. You're not running for, you know, fifth grade class president. But do we need to have some sort of guardrails put in place with flat out lies that can lead to inflammatory moments where unsavory individuals with not everything going on between their ears properly ultimately decide they need to grab GoPros, backpacks, and AK-47s and start hiding out in the bushes? How do we fix this? Because we can sit here and say we hate it. Let's come up with a solution. What is that solution as far as, because you're right. And I think the Trump campaign absorbed so much of the be careful not to attack Kamala in this facet. Don't attack Kamala in this regard. You're going to be viewed in this light or that light. So they've kind of, you know, made like these lighthearted jokes, and the ads with the Bidenomics is working. Yet you're right, Dawn. You hear a Kamala ad, you would think she is running against the axis of evil,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like, well, that's all they have.
Well, yes, correct. Because policy-wise, she continues to offer very little. We're going to dissect the 6ABC interview. I know we've got a bunch of clips from that as that happened on Friday. But it's almost, and this is where you mentioned about dialing back rhetoric on both sides. I almost, at this point, I don't expect that to happen, because if it didn't happen in a sustained fashion after July 13th, it's not going to happen on September 16th with 7 weeks and 1 day to go. So not, like we keep saying, well, is something going to change? Whether it's polls, rhetoric, at this point in time, you're making that turn. This is like the Kentucky Derby, and it's down the stretch they come. Nothing's going to change between now and November 5th. Why would it? It hasn't changed for 9 years, right? It's like that that family member that you have that's never going to change the way they behave or what they consume. And you're like, well, we've tried this. We've tried rehab. We've tried therapy. He is what he is at this point. Like Hunter Biden, right? Hunter Biden is what he is at 54 years old. So in the Trump era of politics, good, bad, right, left, wrong, indifferent, whatever, from the day he came down the escalator to September 16th of 2024, nothing has changed. So why should we anticipate something to change now?
Two things. I know that the FCC, first of all, earlier this was like late July, they were working on making sure that campaign ads did not use AI, or that they had to disclose whether or not they used AI. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
But if I'm being honest, this goes back to, it was Citizens United, right, v. the Federal Election Commission, the FEC. At the time, President Barack Obama criticized the Supreme Court for passing this through. Why? Because they, in other words, the ruling allowed these PACs or donations by corporations to be viewed as an individual, and really open the floodgates on all this money. That's why we have these huge PACs raising money, and it's out of control. It's supersized.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I wish somebody would file something and review that, because I think it has. And at the time, let's give him credit. Former President Barack Obama was correct on it, and I agreed with him at the time that this was going to open a Pandora's box. But to me personally, if I were doing a campaign ad, I would come out about my opponent and say, do you notice the scary voice? I'm not going to do that about my opponent. I'm not going to put a scary voice and put that opponent. I would go, you know, and say, look how they put them in black and white and say they're scary. I'm just saying the person who's running against me is mid. They're mid. They're not horrible, but yeah, they're not really going to do too much for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be hysterical.
Yeah.
Just come out and tell the truth. Just say, they don't work that hard. They get this many days off. But here's what I'm going to do. I think that somebody has to be different in all of this, because quite frankly, when you see any ad come out, you just turn it off. You tune it out, because we are being bombarded, especially this close to an election. You're being bombarded, mm-hmm. and you don't believe anything, and you're sick of it.
Yep. And then, of course, you have the social media aspect of all of this, where people post things and say things that they would never say in person to somebody. Or they say, well, I don't really mean that. You know, I would never wish so-and-so to go through X, Y, or Z. And Constitutional Tony sends us the picture of Kathy Griffin with the Trump, you know, beheaded picture that was, you know, done years ago. You know, so like you see these, you know, harmless picture, but it's harmless to those that live in a civilized society that are not threats to anybody else's well-being. But you just never know who's out there on social media that has a mental illness that's going to act upon it, whether it is Thomas Matthew Crooks, whether it is Ryan Ruth, the suspect here in Florida. You just never know. And you look at the media coverage. Lowe sends us a tweet. It's not their person who was shot at. If it had been King Joe or Cackles, the story would be way different. They would not be blaming their supporters. They would be more aggressive in their investigation, and somehow it would be MAGA's fault for all of it.
I mean, that's a great point. Look at the lengths that they're going to, the media, going to Springfield, Ohio, to disprove this story.
Mm-hmm.
And all the resources, all the reporters and everything they're sending to this town for this story, when it's something they care about and they really want to disprove, they really want to get to the bottom of it, they spare no expenses.
Yep.
When it's something like, you know, this, they're just like, well, you know, I don't know. It was...
Yeah, we did this back in July.
Yeah. So
it's becoming commonplace.
It's unbelievable.
You are correct that when it is something that they care about, they will bend over backwards to get to the bottom of.
Yes.
I mean, I was driving. It was Friday Night Football. I'm driving and listening to the CBS Evening News. It was Nora O'Donnell who basically connected the bomb threat that happened. And by the way, here in Philadelphia, I don't even report bomb threats, because there are so many copycats.
Sure.
Usually you don't even report bomb threats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
So, but they were connecting the fact that you had threats, which is horrible that they have to deal with that, right? But they were connecting that and essentially blaming it on Trump and the Trump campaign and the rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no evidence, to my knowledge, that you can indeed connect those dots. The way that they wrote it, the way that they reported it, they were making you infer from the way they were reporting it that they were directly, that one was the direct result of the other. That's just improper. It's just not true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. When in doubt, blame Trump. Trump's to blame for everything. 855-839-1210. Let me grab a couple of calls here before we get to the cut sheet. We've got James in Bayonne. James, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Yes, hello, everybody. Yesterday, or Saturday, on NPR, they were interviewing Republicans in Wisconsin. And there's about 100,000 Republicans in Wisconsin. The person they were interviewing was telling the people in the Republicans to vote for Harris. And they also mentioned Cheney recommending Harris. And what I can't believe is, you know, if you don't want to vote for Trump, fine. were to recommend Harris,
mm-hmm.
where the Democrats don't honor the Constitution, how these Republicans can say vote for her.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Because they said it would be better than all the chaos that Trump had in the past.
Yep. James, who's your dog?
Those are things
James,
going on NPR.
James. What? Who's your dog voting for?
Yeah.
Trump.
Was that
what you just said.
Oh, you said Trump. Okay, I was just making sure. I had to clarify.
I trained her. No, I trained her. She walked away
with Trump. Hey, Jesse. There he is, James and Bayonne. Yeah, this whole Republican coalition of Cheney and McCain and all these people, like I said last week, you can have them. You can have every one of them, all the Bush Republicans, all the ones that the liberal media despised for all these years. And now they're like, oh, look at this guy. Now he's supporting Kamala Harris. Have at it. Knock yourself out. 855. Not saying it might not have an impact. Certainly could have an impact, but you can have them. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. We'll get to what's on the cut sheet. We'll see what Stocker has lined up from a busy weekend. It's coming up next here on Kale & Company.
Oh, man. What a great NFL weekend. It ends tonight with your Philadelphia Eagles against the Atlanta Falcons. I am taking the Eagles tonight -5.5. You can place that first $5 bet on tonight's game and win $200 in bonus bets guaranteed, all from a FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. You also, if you want to build a same game parlay tonight, take Saquon Barkley in the over rushing yards. Saquon Barkley for an anytime touchdown and Jalen Hurts on the over for passing yards. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD and the NFL. 21 and over, present in Pennsylvania. First online, real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is no more trouble. Bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Monday is brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy a back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for $369 per month. Down payment, registration fees, and taxes due at inception. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Okay, let's start with the assassination attempt, the second one, on the former president. We played some of the clips of the news conference that happened yesterday around 5 o'clock on Ryan Ralph. Ruth. Ralph.
Ruth.
Ralph.
Looks like Ralph.
By the way, his multicolor hair, like it's like half gray, half white or something.
I was wondering what was going on that. It's like it's a gray slash blonde dye job.
He's obviously a mental patient.
Kook.
All right, cut 13, Phil. Let's play a little bit of the news conference from yesterday. Cut 13, go.
1:30 this afternoon, call came out, shots fired. That was called in by the Secret Service. Because we're in constant contact with them all the time, we were notified of that. And we had units here that immediately sealed off the area. Fortunately, we were able to locate a witness that came to us and said, hey, I saw the guy running out of the bushes. He jumped into a black Nissan, and I took a picture of the vehicle and the tag, which was great. So we had that information. Our real-time crime center put it out to the license plate readers. And we were able to get a hit on that vehicle on I-95 as it was headed into Mark County.
Can you pause it for a second?
Yep.
So I'm hearing conflicting reports. Were shots fired or were shots not fired?
Shots were fired
at the suspect. The suspect never actually got a shot off at
Allegedly,
because they saw the barrel sticking out and the agent responded accordingly.
Gotcha.
Yes.
They're still investigating that, but for sure, Secret Service or law enforcement protecting Trump fired at least 4 shots at the suspect, not hitting him, though.
Correct. And we also, you know, don't know how much longer it would have taken if this suspect did not actually get a shot fired. I mean, how much longer it would have taken, because I'm seeing the photos of the crime scene on Fox News, you see these backpacks that are kind of strapped up onto the metal fence which is kind of covered with all these trees and leaves and bushes, and then you see all of his accessories there. I mean, if that agent doesn't see that barrel of that rifle poking through, which, again, kudos to that agent for being able to spot that out. I mean, that takes a unbelievable keen eye, a trained eye for sure. I mean, another 5 seconds, 30 seconds, who knows?
It's weird, too, that he, according to the theory by the authorities investigating, they've said that he has this GoPro with him, so he intended to video him shooting or firing shots or what have you. That's the theory.
I was just going to ask, and I didn't want to be this dope, and I could look it up, I guess. But what exactly is a GoPro? Is that something that the kids have today? Is that a new piece?
Like, it's like a little camera.
It's just a little camera. Yeah, it's wearable.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can wear it. A lot of times people have used it in TV for years. Yeah. I'd say for about maybe 10 years.
I was going to say before we got these professional high quality HD cameras in all of our studios, we had a GoPro camera in there.
Okay.
So like in the very infancy, in the infancy stages of our, you know, jump to video, we were using GoPro
on this show initially.
But the biggest place that you see them used is from a perspective, because you can. It's a wearable camera.
Okay.
Can you keep going there, Phil?
Sheriff's office alerted them, and they spotted the vehicle and pulled it over and detained the guy. After that, we took the victim. I'm sorry, the witness that witnessed the incident flew him up there, and he identified as the person that he saw running out of the bushes that jumped into the car. Now, in the bushes where this guy was is a AK-47 style rifle with a scope, two backpacks which were hung on the fence that had ceramic tile in them, and a GoPro, which he was going to take pictures of. So those are being processed right now. The Secret Service agent that was on the course did a fantastic job. What they do is they have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at. And he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual, at which time the individual took off. So that's what we know about the investigation. We have somebody in custody right now that is a potential suspect. We got a little bit more work to do on it. But as we usually do, as soon as we decide that we're going to book him into the county jail and the charges that he's going to be booked into, we'll get those to you and we'll get a picture of him and we'll get you his background. So now I'm going to turn it over to the representative of the Secret Service, and he's going to make a brief statement.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I first want to thank all of our law enforcement partners, to include the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office and the Martin County Sheriff's Office, for their involvement today. Former President Donald Trump is safe and unharmed following a protective incident shortly before 2 p.m. on Sunday at Trump International Golf Club at West Palm Beach. The U.S. Secret Service personnel opened fire on a gunman located near the property line, and this matter is under investigation. I'll turn it over to my partners over at the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Stop again. Good. Can I ask a question? How was this guy allowed to get this close?
That's the question.
500 feet, right?
500 yards.
500 yards.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, if you think your average golf hole is 300, 400, 500 yards, I mean, he's basically within the same distance of a hole from tee to green.
I will say this. Jason Leopold does these FOIA requests a lot, and he published an article back in July on Mar-a-Lago and how in 2018 and 2019, when Trump was president, the Secret Service are kind of, they don't really know how to approach Mar-a-Lago because it's a private club. So they don't really have control of who goes in and out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there all the time.
Yep.
So there have been multiple threats and crazy people that show up that they've intercepted in like probably about 12 or 13 just in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like the problem is that it's this big area. They can't really control who goes in and out of it. So really anybody can come in there, right?
Well, I mean, I guess if you're looking at where this guy, this suspect was on the fifth or the sixth hole, it appears he's on the outside of the perimeter.
Yeah.
where he's basically, and I'm just, you know, hypothetically here, he's parked along the shoulder of the road, and you go up a little piece of grass, and there's this big bushy fence, and on the other side is the secluded, you know, gated property of Trump International. But to your point, and I think I've told you this story on the air, when I went over to play at Trump's course in Jersey earlier this summer, with a member, the member has said he was also playing at Bedminster, which Trump is at a lot. And he said the secure, and he showed me the pictures. He took pictures of all the Secret Service agents and all the black SUVs at Bedminster. They have, out front of the property, they have a security guard in a high booth looking down at the vehicles as you come in the gate. So to that extent, I asked the question of this. What is the security detail like for Trump at something like Trump International in Florida versus Bedminster? Because I've been given the impression that getting into Bedminster to try to kill Donald Trump is like getting into Fort Knox. You're not getting in. So to your point with your question, how is this guy able to get within 400 yards and stick a scope through a fence? Again, it doesn't add up.
The local authorities made it very clear and said if he had the protection like he had when he was president, see, they're treating him like a former president, but the problem is he's a former president and a current candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving him the protection that you would have as a candidate. They should just, you know, again, we're less than 2 months here, folks. You know, and they'll probably come out and say, you know, because of these threats, we're going to give all former presidents, we're going to heighten all of their security. I bet. How much you want to bet that's what's coming today?
Well,
we'll give all the former president security. Fine.
Yeah, which we shouldn't have to wait this far, this long for this to happen. But let me also ask this question. Like, if you're, and I don't know, maybe he doesn't feel like he is constantly under, you know, a threat. How has Trump not added more of his own people? Like, I said this after the July 13th shooting.
He may have, Nick, but it's really expensive.
Oh, it's really expensive. But he can't afford it?
Well, I mean, it's millions of dollars, and he's already dragged down with legal action. You know what I mean? It's a lot. They do have their own private people, too.
I would add more.
But
I mean, I would have had that, you know, it's always easy to say this, you know, hindsight 2020 and armchair Monday morning quarterback, this whole thing. But we just saw it 65 days ago. I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me when I hear, well, the Secret Service goes one hole ahead to make sure everything's clear. I'd like to know that six holes ahead, everything is clear. But that's just me.
Can you continue with the head of this Secret Service, Phil?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Veltri. I'm the special agent in charge of the FBI's Miami field office. The FBI has assumed the role as the lead federal law enforcement agency in the investigation of the incident that occurred earlier today at Trump International Golf Course here in West Palm Beach, Florida. We've deployed a number of resources, including investigative teams, crisis response team members, bomb technicians, and evidence response team members as well. What we need right now is for the public to avoid the area around the golf course. We will continue to support this investigation with the full resources of the FBI, alongside our partners with the United States Secret Service and the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, as well as Martin County Sheriff's Office and state and local law enforcement. I would ask that if anyone has any information that may assist with this investigation, to contact our tip line at 1-800-CALL-FBI or at tips, that's T-I-P-S dot FBI dot gov. Thank you.
David? Hi, I'm Dave Ehrenberg, State Attorney for Palm Beach County. I want to thank Sheriff Bradshaw and our partners at the local, state, and federal levels. I'm here because our prosecutors are currently working up warrants and a motion for pretrial detention for the suspect. In that way, he will be kept in custody. But our filing of these warrants and charges at the state level does not preclude federal charge that could be coming. But in the meantime, it looks like the warrants and the pretrial detention motion will happen first. And again, I want to thank the cooperation we've had with our federal partners and at the local level. And thank you all for being here today.
All right, so there you have it. You know, I talked earlier about added protection, and, you know, I said, look, I don't think Trump's ever going to do his rallies indoor. He's going to continue to do them outdoors, as he has. But they have made adjustments. I mean, they've added the plexiglass shield in front of him when he speaks, which is obviously imperative, especially after July 13th. But, I mean, let's think forward here. We still have just over 7 weeks and one day until the election. How many, I mean, and we've been talking about, well, what's going to change between now and this is what we keep talking about. It's a long way to go. We are still, what, 50-some-odd days. There could be two or three more pivotal moments that occur here in the next, because other than the October 1st Veep debate, we don't have anything else on the calendar.
So I'm curious, too, because CNN reported that the golfing for Trump was a last-minute decision. So, like, how did this guy know he was going to be there?
It's a great question.
It's one of the questions that they were asked that during one of the, you know, news conferences. They were posing that, but mm-hmm. we don't have that information as far as was this guy. He came from all the way from Hawaii. So the question is, how many days was he camping out?
Mm-hmm.
Was he trying to get lucky? Did he have some kind of insider information?
Of course.
Right? There are so many questions that... You know, they have to answer.
Because you have these people, well, the Thomas Matthew Crooks was a lone rogue wolf. Okay, genius. Then how did he get on the only unprotected roof? Like, I mean, come on. Let's stop the, it's merely coincidence and he was going to go. If you really believe that Thomas Matthew Crooks was going to shoot either political candidate and he was just waiting for whoever showed up in his vicinity, you're insane. And then this, to your point, Greg, I'm glad you're bringing this up. I mean, Trump has a bazillion golf properties, and most people in the public have no idea where Donald Trump is at any given time. So how does this nudnik just end up randomly in some bushes up against a fence with a shop set up, and he gets within basically a driver distance of a golf club to kill the guy? Come on.
Cycle Bill on the YouTube chat asks, are there any other golfers on the course when Trump is playing?
That I don't know. That's a great question. Yeah. I would imagine at these private clubs, maybe way out in front of him, but I don't even know if that. I honestly don't know. Maybe the whole if he plays, maybe nobody's allowed out there for the 3.5 hours. I honestly don't know. It's a great question. If any of our Trump course members that are listening know, feel free to either call or tweet or text.
I suspect because they have that bubble right that protects him, so they're golfing ahead. So I think that they probably have a protocol as far as the distance that you, much of a distance you can go ahead. Yeah. Also, if you've been vetted, if you're a member, which you have to be, then they have vetted the people who are on the course. It's very exclusive.
Mm-hmm. So forgive me. You know, I'm just a plebe who can't afford a golf membership.
Well, neither can I, Chief.
But so this is Trump International in West Palm Beach.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's not Mar-a-Lago?
No.
Okay.
It's not Mar-a-Lago.
Okay.
Nope. It's Trump International.
It's Trump International.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep.
Is it close to Mar-a-Lago?
That I don't know. Okay. I can look, but yes, it is a distinct private property.
So we played this earlier. I want to play this again. Suspected would-be Trump assassin was interviewed in, what'd you say, Dawn, 2022?
Mm-hmm.
By Newsweek Romania, because he went to Ukraine when the Ukraine-Russia war started, and they interviewed him about why he was there and all that other stuff. This is cut 15, Phil, go.
Tell me who you are and why are you here?
56, from the U.S., from North Carolina originally, so I live in Hawaii now, so flew all the way from Hawaii here. So the question as far as why I'm here, to me,
by the way, can just stop it for a second? Mm-hmm. This guy flies from Hawaii to a lot of places. What does he do for a living?
That's a great question. I think he builds. I know this answer. He builds houses that are. I forget what the category they fall under, but I think he's a home builder, construction type guy.
So the Daily Mail has a picture of his construction vehicle.
Yeah,
because it has a Biden or Harris Walls or Biden Harris sticker on the back of it.
Which is interesting because didn't you say at some point in this guy's political life, or the suspect as far as what he subscribes to politically, that he thought the best chance was with Vivek Ramaswamy?
That was during the primaries.
During the primaries.
Yeah, so I guess he just took up shop with the Biden Harris.
Okay. And,
whatever it is.
This is very interesting.
But the truck looked like a beater. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. All right, continue.
Conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. This is a storybook. You know, any movie we've ever watched, this is definitely evil against good. I mean, we're battling a situation here where, you know, the Ukrainians and the rest of the world are caring and kind and generous and unselfish and take care of one another, and it's just a matter of, you know, we need to stand up for that. That is the...
I mean, he's very well-spoken. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's clearly nuts.
No, yeah.
He's very well-spoken.
Yeah, he looks nuts, too, by the way, with the hair.
If you're watching on YouTube, it's his hair is half white, half mm-hmm. grayish, almost purple.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Well, I mean, there's unconfirmed stuff out there that he is LGBTQ+. Again, not confirmed. I'm seeing that, but you know, who knows? For you that were that Greg, I know you asked. Mar-a-Lago is 4.5 miles away from the golf course.
It's not important. I was just curious about the vicinity.
15 minutes away.
Please continue.
Oh, human beings, that we're kind and we're caring and that we take care of one another and that the world is united, so that we feed each other and make sure that. You know, we all move forward as one collective whole unit. So, you know, we feel the pain of one country's failure and their conflicts, and we enjoy the successes of other countries that are doing good, and we all work together. And for some reason, Russia does not grasp this concept that we're all one unit, and we have to get along and work together and be normal human beings.
Just curious, what was his point for being in Ukraine in 2022?
He's just very pro Ukraine.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I don't know.
Like this
guy's awfully mobile for a guy who looks like a schlub with $9 in his pocket. I mean, he gets from Hawaii to North Carolina to West Palm to Ukraine. World traveler here. He travels more than Phil.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not buying this whole...
Of course not.
Yeah.
I don't buy any of it.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who's helping to recruit Afghan soldiers mm-hmm. who are fleeing the Taliban in Afghanistan and trying to get them to fight in Ukraine.
Yeah. Do you think Thomas Matthew Crooks and Ryan Ruth are just lucky lone wolves? Yeah, I've got some land I want to sell you about. I'll tell you about after the show.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me. I mean, he
just doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah, yeah, and his like political beliefs are all over, because there was a report that he voted for Trump in 2016, but then turned against him, and then he wanted Vivek and Haley.
He claimed that if you can look up his voting record, he's a Democrat. He wasn't voting Trump. I mean, he was registered as a Democrat. He donated to the Democrats.
Yeah, I'm seeing the picture now of the truck being circulated on social media. You're right. It's got a Biden-Harris sticker right on the back of the bed. And, that thing looks like it's probably 15 years old and got about 400,000 miles on it.
I don't know about that, Don. I think that he did vote for Trump in 2016. He may have been a Democrat, but he voted for Trump in 2016.
But he...
Not that it matters. I mean, all of this stuff is just ridiculous. Like, it's just...
He was very active on social media. I just wonder why he... You know, now they've suspended his Twitter account. That's interesting now.
And X. Mm-hmm. Or not X. Meta, too. Or Facebook. Mm-hmm. Whatever you call it.
Okay.
So, I don't know. We will keep... it's a story we've been talking about all morning. And, you know, we will continue to talk about it. But there's other stuff that I want to get to, too. Kamala Harris did her first local interview with 6ABC. Boy, 6ABC getting all the...
Yeah.
Trump did one, too.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah. Yeah, and Harris loves ABC, whether it's nationally for debates or locally here in Philly.
With Brian Taft.
Brian Taft, yeah.
Nick, if you had some cuts that you were going to originally
well, I was gonna
play for the
whole big take was going to be based on Kamala's yeah. Which, by the way, it was. I shared it yesterday, Sunday morning on social, the full 11 minutes, if you want to watch it from beginning to end. Maybe you didn't set your DVR Fridays or you didn't spend your Friday night watching Harris on TV. It's there if you want to watch it. But this was...
To be honest with you, like, this is how much I check out over the weekend. I didn't know she did an interview with 6ABC until you sent the big take Sunday morning. I was all right.
Trust me, I didn't know she did it until Saturday night before I went to bed. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, here's something we could talk about. So here was the first question regarding the economy. And Brian Taff from 6ABC asking Kamala Harris for one or two specifics. Listen and watch this.
When you talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, yeah. What are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people, you know, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn, you know?
Yeah.
And and I was raised...
I'm proud of my lawn.
...to believe and to know that all people deserve dignity. And that we as Americans have a beautiful character.
Holy F.
You know, we have... ambitions and aspirations and dreams.
Madam Vice President, not all due respect, could you please answer my question specifically?
Access to the resources that can help them fuel those dreams and ambitions. So when I talk about building an opportunity economy, it is very much with the mind of investing in the ambitions and aspirations and the incredible work ethic of the American people and creating opportunity for people, for example, to start a small business.
All right, so that's 90 seconds. I have it jotted down here. That clip was 1 minute
Holy.
And 30 seconds. No policy, no specifics, not one, not two. Did not answer what Brian Taff was asking her.
No.
And when you see her there, she goes, well, I'll start with this. And you notice how she always kind of looks sideways or looks down, like she's searching for the answer. Like there's like an imaginary note card over there that she just got done memorizing. She's literally trying to re-rack her brain to remember what she should have memorized from her. I mean, Dawn, it's the commercial. It's the debate. If we were to play you that first clip from the debate on the economy last Tuesday and that answer there with Brian Taff, it's almost verbatim the same thing, minus the lawn. Well, the lawn was a new wrinkle.
And that's so this was first of all, this is her first sit down interview. Saying this, oh, they were touting, oh, first sit-down interview.
Yep.
She's now going to do local media. This was a strategy that Bill Clinton used back in the day. If we want to look at the media and media strategy, why is that? Because local media stations, it's not the national press pool. So I think Fox News, somebody did release a montage of a question that she's not answering, and then the answer, and that's what we can expect. And so if you look at all of her answers, this is what her plan is. Her plan is she's going to go across the country. And so whether it's in Chicago or Los Angeles or somewhere in Florida or somewhere in the middle of the country, oh, I'm sitting down with your number one station and your number one anchor, and I'm going to do a Q&A. But they're going to ask the same basic questions, and she's going to give the same answer. You get away with it when you do that with local stations, right? Because they're all thrilled.
Yeah.
Because they're the local yokel, like, ooh, 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 right. we got the big exclusive against our competition, against Fox 29 or NBC,
yep.
blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So we got the big interview, and we're just going to let her go on and on and on. That was what Clinton did. He wouldn't talk to the national media. He did a 60 Minutes interview, but mostly he talked to local media because it's going to be these, you know, you're going to have softball interviews. That's what this is.
So apparently that question and answer was not what 6ABC aired. And we have the side by sides. So apparently that answer was given and then they cut it together to take all that crap from the beginning out and just give her answer. So let's, Phil, can you roll cut 11, I think it's two different clips, if you can roll, what actually, you know, the raw footage of it, and then what 6ABC actually aired. I think it starts with the raw footage.
Okay.
When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people,
yeah,
what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid.
So that's
my mother
that's what you're playing,
raised
right?
My sister yep. and yep. me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager.
Then, Phil, are you able to play the second one?
Okay.
Of what actually aired?
Talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people.
Yeah.
What are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this.
No, that's not it. Hang on.
I grew up in middle class.
Hang on. Let me play what actually aired.
Okay.
When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people,
yeah,
what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
So, when I talk about building an opportunity
See?
Economy,
wow,
it is
See?
Very much with the mind of investing in the ambitions and aspirations and the incredible work ethic of
So they're
American
taking
people.
Out the middle class
yes.
fluff and all the garbage yep. and making it sound like she's giving nuts and bolts answers.
100%.
Well,
100%.
Okay, I don't know.
Well, that's a violation on ABC.
I think what they did
is that what you're going to say?
Is
cut for time?
I believe that they yeah. have the full interview that they put online.
Okay.
And then what the piece of it that they aired apparently, they cut that up. So I think that's what's happening.
I'll defer to you. You're the TV expert. I know nothing about it. You get Kamala Harris for an interview. You go as long as it takes.
Yeah.
Like, what is this cut for? What do you mean cut for time? That you blow, if this was, I don't know, when did this air? Like in a 4 o'clock newscast, a 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
I'm blowing everything
Friday
out.
Night,
I don't need sports. I don't need weather. I don't need the Phillies. I don't care about a gunshot on fifth and what. Like, you clear it all out. You blow out your inventory, minimal commercial, whatever, and you give Kamala the full thing, right? It's a big get.
Yep.
Regardless of whether you like her, she's worthless, whatever, the whole bit. we're trimming things. I can't sit here and act like I'm really surprised. I get it. They cater to her. They want to make her look in a great setting under a great light. But I mean, really? This is what we're doing?
Yep.
I don't know it looks like he interviewed her, according to their website, in the afternoon of Friday.
Yep.
And they've been airing, so they aired a piece of it. They aired a piece of it for their 6 o'clock news, which, by all accounts, it's a pretty quick turnaround because they, you know. So then they said they would put the whole thing online. You know, it's not that they're trying to hide anything. To put it on your 6 o'clock news, I don't really have a problem with that necessarily. But the fact that, to your point, they just clipped it to his answer,
mm-hmm.
but they are being transparent in that they did put the whole thing online.
Okay.
So
who's going online or right. online to see it? What they basically did there was they whitewashed her word salad.
Yes. 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 To make her look like she had a great, witty, clever, policy specific answer of this is my opportunity economy and here's what it includes.
Yep.
Instead of starting with let me start with this. I am a middle class kid. If I hear it one more time, my head's going to explode. It's not a middle class kid. First of all, it's a lie. Secondly, you don't need to start like. Does Greg or Dawn or I, do we start every show with like a verbatim thing of, you know, I grew up in Southside Easton, Pennsylvania. Or Greg Stocker went to St. Pius. Okay, we get it. Enough. Oh, it's awful, man.
It's weird to me that they didn't just, you know, it's only, the whole thing's only 11 minutes.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So,
well, she can't go long.
So if you're only going to give 11 minutes, it's not like it was an hour,
no.
90 minutes, you know, which are the Trump interviews.
I agree.
Well, so Bash and Walls were, what, 16 minutes together?
If I'm the programmer for 6ABC, and maybe one day I will be. I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. I am, like you said, I'm taking... You're right. It's not a 25-minute interview. It's 11 minutes. You can spare 11 minutes.
Yes.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you can spare 11 minutes. You start off, you tease it, and you air the 11 minutes in its entirety. Break it up for commercials if you want to.
Sure.
But, like, you air the entire 11 minutes. It's not like it's a 25-minute interview.
I'll be honest here. Yeah. I think, to me, so Walter Perez, remember, he interviewed Trump.
Yep.
And did a pretty, you know, good job. He's solid.
Mm-hmm.
To me personally, just because this is your local guy who you're thinking is going to be the next one right after Rick Williams. And to me, they were protecting their anchor who mm-hmm. was delivered too soft of an interview.
Okay. Mm,
interesting.
To me, that's what this is, because it's a little embarrassing. Walter Perez, I think, was, you know, he was straight up. He did a good job. You never heard any criticism on any side. Like, it was just straightforward with Walter Perez. With this one, it's just so softball.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And we know how Brian Taft leans because of his some stuff he posts on social media. So I think they were, you know, just trying to cover for their anchor. It was way too soft of it.
Okay. As I said earlier, if anybody from Trump Philadelphia was listening to text me, Ed, who has invited me out in the past in the summer, he says, I don't know for sure, but back before he was president, Trump would show up at Trump Philadelphia and the members were simply told, when he comes up on you, let him play through. I highly doubt that they shut it down for him to play alone. Also, by the way, when I went to Bedminster, I needed to fill out a questionnaire, send a picture of myself, and I was questioned on the way into the property as well. So yeah. for clarification They're as to vetted. What it's like around there.
Yeah, it's not the same at Mar-a-Lago, though. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Do you have another clip you want to play, or do you want me to play one?
I do have a few more. So they asked then, this was Brian Taft, how Kamala Harris is different than Joe Biden, and this is that exchange. Take a listen and watch this.
I wonder if there are one or two spots, policy areas, or approaches where you would say, I'm a different person.
Well, I'm obviously not Joe Biden. And you know, I offer a new generation of leadership. And so, for example, thinking about developing and creating an opportunity economy where it's about investing in areas that really need a lot of work. And maybe focusing on, again, the aspirations and the dreams, but also just recognizing that at this moment in time, some of the stuff we could take for granted years ago, we can't take for granted anymore. For example, another plan that I have that is a new approach is to expand the child tax credit to $6,000 for young families for the first year of their child's life, because that is obviously a very critical stage of development of a child, and a lot of young parents need the help to buy a car seat or a crib or clothes for their kids. And so my approach is about new ideas, new policies that are directed at the current moment. And also, to be very honest with you, my focus is very much in what we need to do over the next 10, 20 years to...
It's just painful sitting through that. There's just no substance to it. Opportunity economy, and then the one policy she talks about is a plagiarized policy from Trump and Vance on the child tax credit. All she did was take it from $5,000 and make it $6,000. I mean, and it's the same verbiage. You know who it actually reminds me of? It reminds me of Ron DeSantis, when DeSantis was talking about the things he did at the state level in Florida, and he used words and phrases like car seats. That's a total, I don't know why everybody automatically just assumes when they hear child tax credit, they got to say car seats. But like, I've heard every politician say the words car seats. And those are not original words from Kamala Harris.
Car seats are expensive, maybe.
No, I get it. Everything's expensive. But my God, you know, it's more than just having car seats.
Can I play one?
Yes. It's your turn, Greg.
To solve inflation, Harris explains how she will give $25,000 to first-time home buyers. This is cut 10 on the cut sheet, Phil, if you will. Go.
When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
So when I talk about building an opportunity economy, it is very much with the mind of
investing in the ambitions and aspirations and the incredible work ethic of the American people, and creating opportunity for people, for example, to start a small business. So my opportunity economy plan includes giving startups a $50,000 tax deduction to start their small business. It used to be $5,000. Nobody can start a small business with $5,000. Opportunity economy means, look, we don't have enough housing in America. We have a housing supply shortage. And what that means, in particular for so many younger Americans, the American dream is elusive. It's just actually not attainable. To help people who just want to get their foot in the door, literally. And so giving first-time home buyers a $25,000 down payment assistance. So, another plan that...
So if you stop it right there, that is actually what aired on 6ABC.
Okay.
And that's the cut version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice what they did there, is they took all the goodies.
Yep.
It's like $25,000 here, $50,000 there.
Mm-hmm. And made it sound... Yeah.
Yes. But if you listen to the entire thing,
uh-huh.
it takes her 10 minutes to get there.
To get to land the plane.
Yes.
Yes. And Phil, to answer that clip, I want to play a clip of my own. You heard a little bit of it there, but I just want to isolate it.
Dueling cut sheets. I like this.
I know. This is like cut sheet wars. I'll see your cut sheet and raise you another cut, Stalker. So this is clip number 12, Phil. This is the American dream. I believe this would be clip 4 for you. Let's play this one.
Look, we don't have enough housing in America. We have a housing supply shortage.
Yeah.
And what that means, in particular for so many younger Americans, the American dream is elusive. It's just actually not attainable.
Not attainable. The American dream is dead, folks. And I would argue that Biden and Harris are very much complicit in that. Because, okay, you're going to give me a $25,000 credit towards buying a home. Let me ask you, how far does $25,000 get you in today's housing market? And oh, by the way, if you don't think that $25,000 is going to be added to the for sale price, like we've talked about, this is again another way to buy votes with, quote, free money. It's like the student loan bailout program, right? Joe's trying to get you, Kamala's trying to get you to vote for them. We will not. By the way, somebody still has to pay that back.
Yeah.
Nothing's free in this lifetime, okay?
Yeah, but which for all first time home buyers? She's going to help.
Yeah.
Every first-time home buyer,
and like 50 for small business,
white people.
Yep.
She's going to help out everybody.
So
that's the real question: is this a DEI situation?
Mm-hmm. So 25 grand for a house, 50 grand for a small business.
Yeah, because they did say Dawn has a good point on that. They did say that they were going to give it to people, these first-time home buyers, for people who couldn't afford housing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And this is kind of like an incentive to do this. And they did talk about black and brown communities
right.
reaching out to this and doing that.
To close the gap.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, we're going to end up in the same... I mean, we're already heading there.
Sure.
But we're going to end up in the same housing crisis we ended up in 2008.
Years ago. Yep.
So what's going to happen when Joe Schmo buys a house, can't afford it,
mm-hmm.
You know, is late on payments, it's foreclosed upon.
Foreclosure.
What's going to happen to the value of our houses?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And like, everything bottoms out.
This is such a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop with this stuff.
Yes. If it looks too good, I was always told if it looks too good to be true.
Yeah.
It probably is.
Can I say, I have so much more. Can we do more on the other side?
It's 8:30 already.
I have Dana Bash and J.D. Vance that literally spent 17 minutes talking about eating cats.
And fighting with each other?
17 minutes. The entire interview.
I'll tell you what.
Yes.
He goes on CNN a lot, does he not?
Kamala Harris has a new accent that she broke out over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new cringe person in the Harris-Walls campaign.
Cringe, not weird.
Cringe.
Okay.
I will have all of that for you on the other side.
All right, let's do that. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. We'll continue with more of the cut sheet after this. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we're talking about a new brand today. Oh, that's right. Volkswagen VW, baby, where you can check out the new 2024 Tiguan. The spacious SUV can seat up to 7 passengers thanks to its available third row. I know my wife is in the market for an SUV right now, and all she talks about is that third row. Third row is all the rage, and you can get that today at Piazza Volkswagen. It's equipped with a suite of helpful technology features designed to make driving and parking easier. And right now, the Tiguan could be yours at 0% financing for 60 months, or lease it for as low as $299 a month for 36 months. Visit Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore and Langhorne for details and tell them that Nick sent you, or you can shop the Tiguan and other VW models today at PiazzaVW.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
There's a new member of the Trump Walls, or the Harris Walls campaign that is very cringy. Okay. And it is Gwen Walls, Tim's wife.
Oh, yes.
She was with him in Wisconsin over the weekend at a rally stop. And I think that they were immediately regretting that they gave her the microphone and the podium. Phil, this is cut 9. Go.
But I kind of liked it when she did this. Turn the page. You like that? Okay, so I need you to be with me and practice with me. What are we going to do? We're going to turn the page.
Oh.
Pretty good. Do it again. We're going to turn the page.
Oh.
That's like the wave.
Turn the page. Oof. Be watching you, because when I see Wisconsin and I'm going to watch you nationally on TV, because this is a pretty important place and Minnesota helped you practice with this, you just show me this. Turn the page.
Oh my
right?
God.
Turn the page. And you know what else that looks like?
You have to see this on YouTube.
Well, this is awful.
Bye. Bye-bye, Donald Trump.
Oh my.
Look at those. Look at those eyes.
I'm just going to say the same thing.
Look at those eyes, man.
We're going to need Dawn to either confirm or slap us for this. I think you and I are about to say the same thing.
Yeah.
She's got crazy chick eyes.
She does.
You know, this might come off sexist, but I think there's some validity to it. Same thing with men. You know, Mike Tyson. You look into Mike Tyson's eyes, it's like looking into the eyes of Jaws. You got those black eyeballs, just soulless, like the depths of the ocean. She's a crazy chick.
Do they think that helps their campaign? She's like, every guy watched that and crossed their legs. They're like, oh, boy.
When I see her, and that's
she's
the first
take
time
my
I've
manhood.
Seen it confirms the fact that I thought she was nuts. Because if you remember, when we first got introduced to Timmy Walls, we played you the clip of his wife, and remember she was saying during the riots in 2020 in Minneapolis that she kept the windows open at night so she could smell the asphalt and the rubber of the tires burning.
Horrible.
Like, because she never wants to be able to forget what happened to George Floyd, whatever. Who actually likes the smell of burning rubber? A crazy person.
Yep.
And now you see her eyes. Can we zero in on her and just freeze frame her in one of her page flipping moments? Dawn, can you validate what Greg and I are claiming, that she's got crazy chick eyes?
Yeah, they wanted to name their daughter Wednesday, but
like Wednesday Adams.
Yeah, it's like only the Adams family would say, "Oh, we love to leave our windows open and smell death and burning rubber."
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's just unbelievable. But like that right there, that lady right there. That's the worst nightmare for, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is your white, liberal, suburban woman, presumably in most situations without kids, without a family, career-oriented, that will probably never even come out and condemn what happened to Donald Trump potentially yesterday.
Yep.
This is the battle he's fighting. Right there, that's the poster child. Tim Walls' wife.
By the way, 91 LSXer says she looks like she has stage 5 clinger eyes.
She does, man.
I mean, that is some cringe behavior.
Can we get a still shot of her, Phil? Just put her.
Just play.
Yeah, now just freeze it. That's good right there.
Yeah,
that's all we need. Now look at those eyes. Look at those eyes. Like my dog when I drop a scrap from my New York strip steak on the floor. She wants to gobble it up.
A new way forward.
By the way, look at those. Oh, my Lord.
But we don't have to make fun of people or their wives' crazy eyes. Just look at the policy.
Well,
the policies are meaner and crazier than the wife.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on there. Like, you know, remember the hug? Or that was actually a handshake, and then they kind of bro hugged each other.
Yeah, like Roger Goodell when you get drafted in the NFL. Yeah, and the other weird thing about Walls as well, man, when this guy gets introduced by Kamala, and he comes running out like he's Richard freaking Simmons. And he's just it's like he's on The Price is Right. He's come on down. He's all flailing around. And here we go.
It's worth checking out YouTube just to see Nick do what he just did.
Timmy got a lot of bounce. Yeah, Timmy's all over the place.
He does have a lot of bounce.
It's like coming out with the jazz hands. Yeah. Right?
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. Everybody's watching right now. Everybody, see all you people watching. Please hit the like button. Please hit the like button, or I'm going to start with my crazy eyes. Hit the like button. I need all of you to like it right now. It's free. And also subscribe if you have not done so. We're like inching closer to 7,000. So please, we need to hit that 7,000. So everybody hit subscribe and like on today's show.
Just a little in the weeds here, but I think maybe people have picked up on this.
Yeah.
What is it with politicians, with how weird they are with their hands?
Yeah.
Like walls waving around, like every word Trump speaks, Trump's moving his hands the whole time. He's got like the organ thing, the little synthesizer he's doing. Who else is DeSantis never really knew what to do with his hands. He doesn't know if he should hold his hands together, cross his arms, put them down. Like, I always felt like the individual, when they're standing and they don't know what to do with their hands, and they drop them down by their side, looks so awkward. Like, we actually, not to take a swipe at the guy, because I don't think it really matters, but people pick up on the weirdest thing in photos. When I tweeted out the picture Thursday night from Scottish Rite Auditorium, it was Dawn, Phil, myself, and Don Jr. We took a picture with the 1210 backdrop, and one of the responses was, what's Donald Trump Jr. doing with his hands? Why does he look so awkward in that? And I'm just noticing this. Politicians are very fidgety with their, I don't know what it is, but I've noticed that they all have some sort of weird, bizarre mannerism.
Well, a lot of them have been coached, and that's why you see people with the, index. You're never supposed to point your index. You're supposed to, like, the bent. But the one who's not coached is Trump. Trump talks with his hands. He's got this whole thing going on. He's not gonna take their advice on
Trump's
that.
Like an That's Italian guy. Yeah. Like Bruno talks with his hands. Yeah.
That's the funny piece of it.
By the way, the Daily Mail over the weekend reporting Donald Trump Jr. is out being cozy with some Republican socialite in West Palm Beach. Just putting that out there.
Who?
Donald Trump Jr.
You guys, this has been weeks and weeks. Mm.
Socialite.
Now, I didn't mention it because we had the big event coming. But for weeks, we've been hearing that the little engagement with Kimberly Guilfoyle is off.
Oh, okay.
That they broke up.
Interesting.
That's like 3 weeks.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about Kai. I like to watch her golf swing, learn a few things. You learn so much from a female golf swing.
Kamala Harris and Biden were at the, was it an NAACP event over the weekend?
Yeah, I think so.
She whipped out the strongest accent she's had yet.
Yeah, this was thick.
This is what?
Ridiculous.
All right, this is cut one, Phil. Go.
And let me just say about Joe Biden. I have...
The laugh is back.
Hello to all my Divine Nine brothers and sisters. And my soror.
And my what?
Soror. The sorority sister.
Yeah.
Now comes the historically black
universe. And to all my HBCU brothers and sisters.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Don't you think this is good? Wait till you hear potentially our next debate. And by the way, I think we're getting close to the season premiere of Saturday Night Live. So I think it's confirmed Maya Rudolph is coming back to do Kamala Harris again. So you're going to hear lots of cringe laughing, whether it's her or multiple impersonators for the next 6 weeks.
I have the J.D. Vance, Dana Bash stuff, but I really want to get into that. So maybe we'll do that at 9:30.
Okay.
Because she literally spent 17 minutes, the 17-minute interview, asking him about, what's happening in Springfield, Ohio, or not happening in Springfield, Ohio. But let me finish up here with Kamala Harris. She was asked about Pennsylvania and how she feels about Pennsylvania. This is when she was in, I think it was Erie over the weekend or something. It looks like she's at some, welcoming center or something like that. This is cut 12. Phil, go.
I am feeling very good about Pennsylvania because there are a lot of people in Pennsylvania who deserve to be seen and heard. That's why I'm here in Johnstown. And I will be continuing to travel around the state to make sure that I'm listening as much as we are talking, and ultimately I feel very strongly that we've got to earn every vote. And that means spending time with folks in the communities where they live. And so that's why I'm here. We're going to be spending a lot more time in Pennsylvania.
So she says, quote, I feel pretty good or very good about Pennsylvania, which is interesting because according to CNN, of all places, the Harris campaign says Pennsylvania is looking pretty rough. I just want to read this. We're going to get to this later, but this is actually a perfect spot after that clip. CNN writes the following. At a leadership retreat for top aides in Wilmington last week, Jen O'Malley Dillon, the campaign chair hired by Joe Biden and retained by Kamala Harris, ticked through the battleground states and warned them that the vice president, Kamala Harris, still does not have any one sure path to victory and 270 electoral votes, saying Pennsylvania looks rough, though very possible by their internal numbers before the debate. North Carolina, disappointing Democrats every election for the last 15 years, is feeling better to them this time around than Arizona, which Biden narrowly won 4 years ago. They also go on to say that Nevada and Georgia both seem possible, though depending on the poll, can take a lot of squinting. Michigan and Wisconsin are looking like the best of the bunch for Harris, according to the campaign's internal numbers. And I think this is important because, as we've talked about, Trump's, and I've kind of coined it the path of least resistance, the easiest route to 270 is North Carolina, which he's won twice, Georgia, which he's won once and only lost last time around by 10,000 votes, and then, of course, Pennsylvania, which he won in 2016. Which I find, do you believe that the internal polls are telling Kamala that, I'm wondering if they're selling us a bill of goods that they don't believe. Like, they're trying to sell this underdog story. Do they really think they're the underdogs?
I think that that's the way they're playing it. I think that she's visiting some red, Johnstown, that's Cambria County. So she's visiting some red areas that used to be blue, that used to go for the Democrats union vote 100%. Mm-hmm. Now they've flipped, and last time around they've been for like 8 years they've been red. So she's trying to woo back these union, traditional union places like Johnstown, Cambridge. It's like 70 or so miles, I think, away from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So this used to be the heart of blue country. Now it's red country.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Phil Almquist. The Johnstown flood, and also that's where Slapshot was found.
Oh, great movie.
Was filmed.
Yes.
Johnstown,
yes.
PA.
So, by the way, southwestern
Pennsylvania.
Near Altoona.
Yeah. While we're talking about polls in Pennsylvania, real quick, I'll just pay off this tease as well. The latest YouGov post-debate poll came out Saturday, and I know we talked a lot about the Taylor Swift endorsement, and if I'm wrong, I'm always willing to admit it. I thought her endorsement will have a big impact. Maybe it will. Maybe this poll means nothing. But it found out that 8% of voters said that Taylor Swift's endorsement is either somewhat or much more likely to convince them to cast their ballot for the Democrat. 8%. But 20%, this is the shocking part, 20% are somewhat or much less likely to vote for the Democrat after the endorsement. Is it possible that Taylor Swift endorsing Harris is a net negative?
Net negative.
No, how about that? No, I can't imagine that being the case.
Yeah, I don't.
But this YouGov poll says so.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Is that it for the cuts?
Yeah, I'm going to play the...
You going to save that for the bottom of the hour?
Dana Bash stuff at 9:30.
Gotcha. All right. We'll come back. We will get to a big three from Dawn Stensland, and then a little bit of a break from 6ABC and Kamala and Trump and another attempt on his life yesterday. Gen Z and the workplace. Business leaders say, you know what? Stop being snowflakes. We'll get to that as we continue. Hour four is coming up next.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.